Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we get to sing songs like that, Lord, to say that you are our everything. God, we have nothing to bring you, and yet you gave everything to get us back. God, if you are not our everything for that fact alone, then we are seeking things that are beyond compare, Lord. So God, we pray that as we dive into your word today, we talk about relationships and friendships, Lord, that we can see how they can point us to the greatest relationship we could possibly have, which is you. We want you as the greatest thing in our life because that is what is true, because that's what your word says. So God, we pray that as I speak, let it not be my word spoken, but your word spoken through me. You know, my words fail, your word never does. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, you guys can have a seat quickly and quietly. That was awesome. Hey, can you give it up for your worship team? I love getting to do that at high school weekend. And the coolest thing is that team that came to high school weekend, we get that every week. I mean, we're very blessed. We're very spoiled. Hey, we're talking about friends in this series in real life. And when you think about friends and people having friends, you probably think like, okay, they're friends because they've got something in common. They've got similarities. Maybe they go to the same school. Maybe they go to the same church. Hey, maybe they like the same sports. Like, hey, I've got a love for sports. They've got a love for sports. Or maybe they read the same books or watch the same movies. Which, by the way, are there any horror movie fans in here? Y'all are sick. I get like they're like, you can go with your friend to a horror movie and like you find it fun, but we got to get you tested because there's something wrong with you. But we find these similarities with people, and usually those similarities can lead to a friendship. And I've got a really good friend I want to show a picture of. It's going to be hard to tell us apart. My buddy Jared and I, here we go. I know, which one's me? Which one's me? I don't know. Yeah, I can't grow that much facial hair to save my life. No, obviously we do not have a lot of similarities physically. Jared Wheeler, I've known him since elementary school. We went to the same church. He is 6'5", 300 pounds, and I'm not that. So very different. He was the starting center for University of Miami. Like he athlete supreme. And so there's not a lot of similarities between us. But he is one of my best friends, even to this day. He has played a pivotal role in who I am. And it's primarily because we share one very common interest, one common similarity, and that's our faith. Our faith has played a pivotal role in who we have become and how we have helped shape each other. He has helped me in so many different ways. And in this series, In Real Life, we're talking about relationships. Relationships that help change us, because relationships are a huge part of our lives. They are a huge part of your lives as students. And so we want to help develop real relationships, right? We don't want shallow, surface level relationships, because those don't last. But real relationships do last. Real relationships last. And so we want to look at different areas of our lives and different relationships in our lives that are the most important. So we talked about family, we talked about parents and siblings, and those are the primary relationships that we first have in our lives with our parents and siblings, or people that are like our siblings. Now we're gonna move on to friends. Specifically this week, we're talking about friends of the same gender. And one thing we've been inviting you to do throughout this series, so just keep this in mind, is that if you have questions about relationships, we want you to write them down. Throughout this series, if something pops up, write it down. And we actually have a QR code. Your leaders have it in their binders. And we could put it up on the screen afterwards to be able to scan that QR code and actually write in your questions. And at the end of this series, we're actually gonna bring some staff members onto the stage as a round table to be able to discuss those questions that you have. And there have been a lot of great questions so far that have been turned in, but we wanna hear yours. So make sure if you've got questions that pop up, write them down real quick and then scan the QR code and put it in. And we'll try to answer them at the round table. But again, this week we're talking about friends and friends of the same gender. And our closest friendships usually are of the same gender. Guys, your closest friendships are usually guys. Girls, your closest friendships are usually girls. Doesn't mean we can't have friends of opposite gender. Of course we can. We can have really close ones too. We'll talk about that next week. But our closest ones are usually the ones that are of our same gender, that similarity. And so we want to talk about how do we make these relationships real? How do we make these real relationships that last? So to do that, best place to go is scripture. So if you have your Bible, open it up to Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27, we'll read verse 17. It's a short little verse, but even for short verses, before we read anything in scripture, what do we need to know? That was really good. That was the most like on cue that you all have been. That's great. Some context, some background information helps us better understand exactly what we're reading in the Bible. All right, bring it in. So some context to Proverbs. So most of the Proverbs were written, and this Proverb specifically was written by a guy named King Solomon. This is actually David's son. So David, who killed Goliath, became the king of Israel. His son Solomon became the king of Israel. And he was known as the wisest man on earth. And he wrote down a bunch of wise sayings and phrases, and those got recorded throughout history and compiled. And that's where we get the book of Proverbs. Many of them are from him. And he talks a lot about relationships, gives a lot of wisdom around different relationships that we have. And here, he says something very specifically on friendships. This is what he says in Proverbs 27, verse 17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. It's a very short verse, but it's a powerful one. And he gives this illustration in this verse of iron, a metal. And he says, this metal of iron sharpens other iron. That if you want to sharpen iron, you've got to use another strong metal like iron. And he says, it's the same thing for man, that man sharpens another man. Now, he's not just talking about like only men, he's talking about mankind. But he gives this illustration of a metal. And you might be like, okay, but I don't really have that much of a vision for that because I don't know how many of us are really just taking two pieces of iron and going, sharpen it, yeah. We're not doing that. But you probably have seen it in practice. Like, does anybody like cooking shows? Anybody baking shows, anything like that? You might have seen chefs use a knife sharpener. It's like this thin rod that they'll take their knife and they'll kind of rub it against, and it's to sharpen it. That rod is made of steel, just like the knife. And it takes a hard substance like steel, and some of it is actually made of like part diamond, to actually be able to sharpen another thing like that knife. And so what you do is that friction causes the imperfections, whether it's tiny little rivets in it or if some food or something else is crusted onto it, what it does is it gets those imperfections and takes them away. And it makes it a more effective result. It makes it a more effective tool. In that same way, Solomon wants us to know that real relationships require real sharpening. Real relationships require real sharpening. This is very specifically seen in friendships. We should want that friends that are willing to build us up. We should want friends that are willing to build us up, because then both sides get sharper. See, if you were to take two knives and do that, and like just like with the kitchen knife, it would help both of those things. It would actually sharpen both to an extent. That's what we do. When we build one another up, we are sharpening each other. We're making each other more effective. And so if you have friends that aren't sharpening you, those are not deep, real relationships. If you have friends that are not building you up, what that friendship is, that is a shallow friendship. It is based on something other than actually building you, actually making you more effective. So we should want friends that are willing to build us up, just like we should be willing to be friends that build others up. Our closest friends should be the ones, and I want you to hear this, our closest friends should be the ones that point us toward Jesus. That's who our closest friendship should be. And I know you might easily say, like, hey, look, my best friends are non-Christians, and I'm okay with that. It doesn't affect me. I've heard that so many times. Like, hey, my best friend group, whether it's at school, whatever, wherever you may have found them, it doesn't affect me that they're non-Christians, right? I'm still a super strong Christian. Well, the Bible actually disagrees with that. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, he says, do not be deceived. Meaning, hey, somebody is going to try to deceive you in thinking this. He says, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Bad company ruins good morals. You may have good morals. You may have a really strong faith. But if you surround yourself, if the closest people around you are not helping build that faith up, are not continuously pointing you to Jesus, then that company will infect that faith and start to tear it down. It's not building a strong foundation under you. In fact, it's causing it to crumble away. Bad company ruins good morals. You might have heard this phrase, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. That is so true. The people that are the closest around you, that's who you are going to become more like. The closest relationships around you, if you look at them, that's who you are going to start to become more like. So who are the people that are closest around you? Are they building you up toward Jesus, or are they causing your foundation to crumble? So if we know that we need these relationships that are willing to sharpen us, what is an example of a sharpened relationship? What is an example of a sharpening friendship? We've got a really good one in the Bible in 1 Samuel 18. 1 Samuel 18, verses 1 through 4. This is actually during, before David, so Solomon's dad, before he was actually king, he had just defeated Goliath. And now David, before he defeated Goliath, he was anointed as the next king of Israel. There was only one problem. There was already a king of Israel. His name was Saul. Saul was the king of Israel that had been given to the Israelites, but he wasn't a good king, and God rejected him. And so God then chose David to become the next king of Israel. But Saul was still the king of Israel at that time. And he had a son named Jonathan, who was the heir to the throne. Because in those times, the king's son would then take over as the king after that king was done. So David, if we continue forward, David beats Goliath and he starts gaining notoriety. And Saul actually pulls him forward and asks him, like, hey, who are you and who's your dad? And he's like, I'm David, I'm son of Jesse. And this is where we pick up right after that conversation. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan, Saul's son, was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Meaning, like, hey, he wanted David to basically be like his son, making Jonathan and David basically like brothers. Verse 3, then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And then get this, and Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him, the princely robe, and gave it to David. And his armor, and even his sword, and his bow, and his belt. See, Jonathan knew after David defeated Goliath, he was probably going to enter into more battles. I mean, David gained notoriety. The soldiers all saw what David did. Jonathan saw what David did. Clearly, God was behind him. And Jonathan, because he loved his friend so much, he gave David what he would need for victory. He gave up his princely robe, which was a sign of honor, declaring that, hey, people that see you now should give you honor because I'm giving you this. So he gave David honor. He gave up his bow and his sword, which were tools used for battle. So he equipped David with tools used for battle. Then he gave him his armor, which was giving David protection. So he gave all these things to David. He gave him honor, tools for the battles to come, and gave him protection. See, when you love your friend, you equip them for success. When you love your friend, you will equip them for success. That's what Jonathan did with David. And that's what we should be doing for our friends. Like, let me give you an example. Ladies, if you know that your friend is struggling with how she looks, you can do one of three things. But what would a good friend do? You could ignore her. Be like, well, I mean, I'm not gonna get into all that. You could be like, hey, I'm gonna be brutally honest. Yeah, girl, you need some work. You could be brutally honest. Some people would consider that being a good friend. Or you could give them confidence in how God made them, in how beautiful they are, and who they are in God. So we see this, and I know I presented these three options, and it's clear which one we probably should do. But if, ladies, listen, we know that that happens, that you've got friends that struggle with how they look. How often do we do that third one? How often do we build them up and encourage them and tell them how beautiful they are because that's how God made them? How often do we do that? Probably not as often as we should. Guys, you probably have friends that struggle with their grades. Maybe they're failing a class. Maybe they're failing school. You've got a few options. You could ignore it. Be like, that's not my problem. They've got to fix that on their own. You could joke about how dumb they are. And if we're honest, that's probably the thing that we do most. Or you could actually help them. You could encourage that guy and offer to help him study and improve his grades. Again, obviously there is a right answer in this of which one is better. And yet how often do we do that last one? Probably not that often. And yet we see in Jonathan and David's example, Jonathan equipped his friend for success because he loved him. If we really love our friends, if we really want real relationships, we will equip them for success. See, Jonathan loved David like he loved himself, the Bible tells us. And later on, Jonathan's dad, Saul, would actually try to kill David. He got jealous of David's popularity and tries to kill David. Now, this would have secured Jonathan's inheritance of the throne. If David, who basically is a rival for the throne now, if he lives, well, that doesn't secure Jonathan's position. Now, maybe the people will rise up and make David king. But instead of allowing his dad to do that, Jonathan thinks of his friend over himself. He warns David to run, possibly knowing that this means that he will never be king himself. And that is actually what happens. Jonathan never becomes king. David becomes king instead. What would you want your friend to do for you if you were headed down the wrong path? Probably turn you around. If your friend knew you were headed down the wrong path, you would want them to turn you around instead of to running off the cliff. So why don't we do that for our friends more often? I mean, honestly, there's probably one of two reasons that we struggle with. One, we're probably worried that we're gonna lose the friendship, that it might damage the friendship. If I point out, hey, you're probably not doing the right thing here. Hey, this thing that you're engaging in, it's not right. And when we do that, we're worried, hey, I'm gonna lose this friendship, so I'm just gonna stay silent. I'm gonna ignore it. Or the second thing that we might struggle with is actually believing what culture tells us, which culture often tells us that we should actually support basically everything and anything that our friends want to do. To be a good friend, you gotta support them, right? That's what culture tells us. Oftentimes they use this line of like, well, who's it hurting? It's not hurting anybody. And can I tell you, that is a lie. That is an absolute lie. Whenever somebody is running away from God, they are hurting themselves. And if we just sit back and we ignore it, what we are basically saying is we are okay with our friends running away from God and hurting themselves. When we sit back, we're letting our friends grow dull. And if we want to grow, we need people who will sharpen the duller areas of our lives. Because we all have areas that we need to improve upon. I showed you a picture of my buddy Jared. I told you, like, I've known him since elementary school. And we were a part of the same group, same grade. I know it doesn't look like it because he's like a grizzly bear. He looks like 10 years older than me, but we're actually the same grade. And I've known him, but we were never like really close friends. But I remember the moment where everything changed. When we were in ninth grade, we were playing Ultimate Frisbee. And I'm a super competitive guy. And he's a competitive guy. And I like to consider myself pretty athletic. Now, back then, I was like 5'8", 100 pounds soaking wet. But I was still fast, I was athletic, and I loved playing Ultimate Frisbee. But when we played this game, Jared, being at that point probably 6'2", 270, was just throwing his weight around, and he clotheslined me, I kid you not, three times. To where I'm on the ground, watching him just catch the Frisbee over me, and I'm getting so mad. Like, I'm ticked off, because one, he's not on my team, and I'm losing. But two, I'm just getting knocked around. Like, I feel like I can't even play. And so this builds up this whole game, this whole afternoon, and I'm ready to tell Jared off at the end of this. We've had discussions and disagreements like this in the past, and so I'm ready to do it again. And before I get up to him, something stops me. And now I realize that it was God calming me down. And instead of telling him off, I go up to him. I say, Jared, you clotheslined me like three times, bro. Like, what was that about? And he looked me dead in the face and he goes, bro, I didn't even know. Which, like, that's like a shot to my pride. Like, you didn't even feel me, like, at all? I felt you. You didn't feel me? Okay. But he went on and he's like, dude, I'm just so big that, like, I don't know all the time when I'm hurting people. And that was such a real response. And it helped me understand Jared better. I no longer thought, like, oh, he's doing this out of malicious intent. He just straight up didn't know. And meanwhile, I'm sitting here getting all mad and frustrated and angry for no reason. And that conversation changed everything in our relationship, in our friendship. Jared helped actually shape how I saw other people, to not just think about myself anymore and how I wanted to react, but I started to think, okay, what is going on in this person's life? Maybe they just don't understand what they're doing, just like Jared didn't. I had to humble myself to realize that, hey, we could actually help one another. So how do we do that practically? How do we sharpen one another in a real way? I've got three things that have helped me throughout my journey. One, how we can help sharpen each other is point each other to God's word. Point each other to God's word. We just came from high school weekend, and the theme verse for high school weekend was Hebrews 4:12. It says that for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. If we want to help sharpen each other, we've got to point each other to the thing that will sharpen us, which is God's word. Because I'll be honest, I can't help sharpen my friends without God's word. That's the tool that actually does the sharpening. And so I need to point them to the thing that does the sharpening, God's word. It is designed to sharpen us. It hurts. It chips away the imperfections. And it's designed to hurt a little bit because the things that hurt are the things that we're holding on to that we don't want to give up that we probably should. And so God's word helps sharpen us, and we should be pointing each other to God's word. Second thing that we should do is challenge one another. We should be willing to challenge one another. Now, I know football season is done, but if you think back to football season, there are these guys that help officiate the game. They're called referees. And referees are, we get mad at them a lot, but they're really good at what they do. Like, they see things live in front of them with their own two eyes that sometimes takes us a specially designed HD camera in slow motion to be able to see, and they'll get that call right, which is amazing. They're really good at what they do, but they're not perfect. They're not perfect. They do make mistakes. And when they make those mistakes, the game itself actually has something instilled in it to help correct those mistakes. It's called the challenge flag. Coaches get this red flag that they can toss onto the field if they think the ref made a mistake. And so if they toss that flag onto the field, the refs then have to go and review it. That's what we should be willing to do for our friends. We have to toss some challenge flags out there to say, hey, look, I think you're wrong here. I think what you're doing, it needs some correction. We have to be willing to correct our friends, to challenge our friends. That if it doesn't line up with God's word, it probably isn't aligned with God's way. If it doesn't line up with God's word, it probably isn't aligned with God's way. See, when we challenge our friends, we are pointing them toward the best way to live, and that's in relationship with God. So we need to point them to God's word, which will sharpen us. We need to be willing to challenge our friends. And the third thing that we need to do is be humble. We need to be humble. If we want to be sharpened and we want to sharpen our friends, we've got to have a humility, because sharpening takes humility. You have to admit that you have perfections in your life as well, in certain areas. If we don't admit that, if we're not humble about that kind of thing, that's like a knife saying like, well, no, you know what? This rust is actually a good thing. This rust that's built up, it's a good thing. This chip that I have on me, this quirk that I have, it's a good thing. Don't worry about it. I don't need to sharpen that. And that's ridiculous. We know that. And so if we want to be sharpened, we've got to be humble. We've got to accept the sharpening, accept the challenge that might be coming our way. See, if we want to develop real relationships that last, we have to make sure that the closest people to us are challenging us to pursue the greatest relationship. And that greatest relationship is not our friends. The greatest relationship is not our girlfriend or boyfriend. It's not even our parents. The greatest relationship is God. We should be surrounding ourselves with people that constantly push us and point us toward Him. And maybe you're in this room right now because you were invited by your friend. Your friend invited you here. And as much fun as we have, as much as we love being around each other, the main reason we do this is so that we can have a relationship and build a relationship with the one who gave everything for us. The Bible tells us that because of our sin, we deserve death, separation from God, the one who made us, the one who loved us before we were even born. And your friend might have brought you here so that you can know about the love that God has for you, that even in your sin, He did not leave you there. He did not let you just be condemned to a life of death, but no, instead He sent His son Jesus to come to this earth, live a perfect life, and then die to pay for your sins so that He could get you back. And all we have to do, the Bible says, is trust that Jesus is who He said He is, our Lord and our Savior. So if you want to have that relationship for the first time tonight, for the first time in your life, you can have it. All you got to do is talk to God, admit that you are a sinner and that you need a Savior. So we're going to give you that chance right now. Let's pray.